As we've had two went to the Lord and said, Lord, you are good and your mercies are forever. Let's magnify the name of the Most High God. For there is no one like our God. There is no one like our King. He reigns forevermore. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that will never come to an end. That is why he is the Ancient of Days. He neither has a beginning and will never have an ending. He is the Almighty. Let's celebrate him tonight. Let's celebrate him tonight. The Bible says in him we live and move and have our being. So we are here tonight in him and through him. Let's celebrate him. Let's celebrate him as men. As men, let us say, Lord, we thank you. As caretakers appointed, commanded by God himself. Let's magnify the Almighty God who has counted us worthy to be his caretakers. You can envy us. You can envy us as men anywhere. But it is not our making. You can fight us on the internet. You can say, why are men the heads of their homes? Go and ask our Father. We didn't make ourselves the head. Not at all. We didn't make ourselves the caretakers. Not at all. He made us. And let us show that we love him. Let us appreciate that favor that he has bestowed upon us as men. Simpaton the handiha. Anoi kasoronda isia. Adin kotando bona serikopon antade. Esungi no sharuana kihota tande. Ilokua asakwa diginta bukusulahe. Sombateria bakando bolo seri batayande. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. That was the song I met when I came in. I love the song. We are going to take it together. I would like the choir to please come back. Please take their position once again. That song says, who is wonderful? It's Jesus. It's a song of worship. So who is mighty? Who is glorious? Who is eternal? Who is the King of Kings? Who is the Lord of Lords?
Who is wonderful?
Is Jesus.
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 Who is marvelous?
Is Jesus.
Who is wonderful?
Is Jesus.
Who is marvelous?
Is Jesus.
Who is wonderful? Won't you praise his name? Won't you praise his name? Won't you worship him? Won't you praise his name? Say, who is wonderful? Who is wonderful?
Glorious. We celebrate you tonight. We sing of your wonders. We sing of your almightiness. We sing of your wisdom. We sing of your power. We sing of you. We celebrate you once again. Please worship in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this weekend, especially for the men. Thank you for the favor that you have given to us as men. We celebrate you. We thank you. And in a very special way tonight, we pray that this weekend will be a special weekend for all the men in this assembly and all over the world, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In every area, you need to wake us up. Father, please wake us up. In every area, you need to correct us. Please, Father, correct us. In every area, you need to transform us. Please, Father, transform us. At the end of this weekend, let our testimonies be that we have seen the Lord and our lives are preserved. Thank you, our precious Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. A louder and better amen. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. You may please have your seat. God bless you. Amen. Somebody say amen. To rise up. Praise the name of the Most High God. If this were to be for the women now, everywhere will be everywhere. But men, somebody say men. Amen. Amen. I've been a pastor for some time now. And I know that, when you find this number of men around in a weekend like this, this number of men is worth more than 1,000 women. I know what I'm talking about. It takes a lot to bring. Please let's appreciate ourselves for at least finding time to come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to appreciate Pastor Ekuri, the one of our senior pastors in the province, one of our finest men. Praise the name of the Lord. I know what I'm talking about. Couple of months back, we were looking for somebody to do something for us at the province headquarters. My pastor at the headquarters said, let's bring Pastor Ekuri now. I said, but you know what we want to do is very important. I said, let this man come. So we narrowed down to him and brought him to the headquarters to do that for us. So because of the mouth that my parish pastor has made, I decided to go and attend to see them so that with all the mouth, let me see whether they have scammed me. Praise the Lord. And I sat down and the man of God took the microphone and wow. Let's appreciate the grace of God upon him. I had to call my EPSP and me. I said, watch that man. Because that was how my profile began to rise in the Redeemed Christian Church of God some years back. Me, a great man of God. I mean, blessed with the word of God. You are blessed in this chapel to have him as your. Let's appreciate him once again. Let's appreciate him. I want to appreciate all of us, all the men in this assembly. It is my prayers that this weekend will not be an ordinary weekend for you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll be laying a foundation tonight because it's an evening program. It's always a very busy day. I've left my house since past 6 a.m. You know, my wife is still on the road. So it's always a very busy day like that. So we will be taking your time. So I'll be laying a foundation on who is a caretaker and what it means to be a caretaker, especially for God. The Bible says in John 4:24 that God is what? A spirit. It's John 4:24. It says God is what? God is what? And the Bible is saying caretaker of God. So you are the caretaker of what? How is it to be a caretaker for a spirit? How do you caretaker, how do you manage the properties of a spirit for him? So we'll be laying a foundation tonight, showing us what it means to be the caretaker of God, and maybe also look at some of the qualities of the caretakers of God. So tomorrow we'll not be going deeper into it. We'll be looking at the authorities and the past of a caretaker. And since it's a men's weekend, we're rounding up by at least praying for all the men and showing us from, there was a time in the Bible that the disciples accosted the Lord Jesus Christ and they asked him, teach us how to pray. So that, because John also taught his disciples. So he said, when you want to pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven. Wow. So he literally told us some things about fatherhood there. So we'll be looking at that while we want to pray for all the men tomorrow by the grace of God. So I would like us to be expectant this weekend as we start from the book of, let's start from the book of, let's start from the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. I'll read. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. It says, and the Lord God took the man. Because anyone that God has not taken, he cannot use. If God has not taken you, he can't use you. So the beginning of being a caretaker of God, the beginning of being useful to God, is to be taken. You remember when Jesus Christ was about to leave the world, the Bible says he took Peter, James, and John. He took them to a high mountain, you know, and was transfigured before them. He can't be transfigured before you if he has not taken you. So that is the beginning of being useful in the hands of the Almighty God. A time comes that God interrupts you. You are going this way, and God blocks you and redirects you. You know, just like a gugu, if gugu is showing you how to navigate your way to where you are going. If you miss the road, it will say rerouting. So it's blocking you and redirecting you. So in your way to fulfillment of destiny, you know, that might be a time maybe you have missed the road. Until God interrupts you, God comes in your way and says, that's not how to go. So, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden. Wherever God has taken, he places. So he said, this is where your destiny is. So he placed the man in the garden of Eden and now gave him a definite assignment. Number one, to dress it and to keep it. So this was the beginning of being a caretaker for God. So there are a lot of things we can see from here. Number one, the garden did not belong to the man. Not at all. There's a difference between ownership, being the owner, and being in possession, even in law. For example, where I live, here in the city of Kefi, I have a landlord. I had an agreement with him to pay a certain amount for a year, annually. And so for the period of time, as long as I have paid, I'm in possession of the property, but I'm not the owner. So if you read this before now, the Bible says, and God created the garden and put the man there. There were other options for God. There were lions there. There were elephants there. You know, there were different kind of animals there. But God took the man. So caretakers are chosen. They are carefully. That is why I will be trying to look at some of the characteristics, some of the qualities of a good caretaker. They are carefully chosen by God. So out of all the animals that were in the garden, he took this man, put him in the garden, and said, you will dress this garden for me. Number one. And you will keep it. I'll be going deeper into that word dress to let you see the spiritual dimension to that word keep. And why I will be expecting that after this encounter this weekend, we'll realize the purpose of God for our lives and we'll begin to intentionally move in that direction. It is a great responsibility to be a man. I'm telling you the truth. So when you look at that, the first thing that I want to establish tonight is the relationship. Can we have on the screen the book of John Gospel, chapter 15, verse 16? John Gospel, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15. Now, in your relationship with God, we want to look at the deal between man and God, especially when you are born again. The deal between man and God. You see, number one, he said, "You have not chosen me." He's talking about hierarchy there. You see, you can't function well in your assignment to God if you don't understand this hierarchy. You will not be as fruitful as you can be if you don't understand John chapter 15 verse 16. He says, you did not choose me. I choose you. Because in every organization, you will see what they call the organogram. It is not to show power or to show anything. It is to set the record straight so that everybody will know who is who. So in relating with us from this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ decided to set the record, to put the organogram. Number one, I am in charge. I am, as far as this relationship is concerned, I am the commander-in-chief. I own this company. And I will show you from the scriptures very soon, people who tried to work against this order, what happened to them? People who tried to work against this particular order, what happened to them? And people who obeyed this order, people who abide by this order, what also happened to them? So to let you know that if you understand this, and you begin to walk according to this, I'm telling you, there is no devil from the pit of hell that can stop you. We try to make the devil look so big, so strong, so the man assumes the kind of power that he does not have. And the reason is because even though we know this by the head, it is not revealed in our actions. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." So God is saying, "I am the boss, I am the landlord, you are the caretaker." So the buck stops at my table. I decide what is to be done per time. When I say yes, that is yes. When I say no, that is no. And when you study God, you realize that God is everything but not a Democrat. Not at all. Not at all. All the men, people of God, all the men who have ascended in the things of God were men who had an understanding of this. They don't do, you can put all the prayer on them. You can call them all the names. So long God is not saying that, they will say it. So long God is not moving in that direction, they keep quiet. Because they understand what it means for God to be the commander in chief. They know that God is not a Democrat. He's a soldier. He's a commander. Now, when you look at the Bible, very well, you see in Genesis chapter 1, you see that the Bible says, "And God said, let there be light." And we thought God said. But when David was reporting it in the spirit, he said, "God commanded." So the thing is, because when God speaks, it's not an advice. It's not a plea. When God speaks, it's a command. No wonder the Bible says in Psalm 33, if you read from verse 7, 8, and 9, it said, "Let all the heart fear the Lord." It said, "Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done." It now tells us how God speaks. It said, "He commanded." And so when God speaks, it is what? A command. A command. So when he said, "Ye have not chosen me," can we come back to John 15, 16? God bless you. He said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." The word ordination there is equipment. He said, I did not just choose you, I have equipped you. You are adequately equipped. You have what it takes to fulfill your assignment. So he said, "You ordain you that ye should go and bring forth fruit."
That is now your duties, your responsibilities. That is how to dress and keep the garden. When we talk about dress and keep, these are the things involved. That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now, that whatsoever you shall ask, that is remuneration. That is the things you get. So this what you see here in John 15:16 is like what do they call it in labor? When you are employed, there's something they call agreement like that, like the terms of reference. Like there's a name, like how they call that document that is between you and your employer. That is it. That is what is here. Showing you the hierarchy, showing you the equipment, the resources available to you, then showing you your duties and responsibilities, and showing you what your rewards are. Praise the name of the Lord. So, what I want you to, the first thing I want you to understand is that you are not the owner. Let me start from your home. You are the husband of your wife. Very good. But you are not our owner. Not at all. You are her caretaker. You are the father of your children. Beautiful. Thank God that this is hospital. If they put the child under the DNA machine, 99.9999, your DNA is inside him. You are the father. You can do each other like this. Nami Bonam. But the truth of the matter is, you are not the owner of the baby. Not at all. You do not determine when the baby will come. You don't determine when he will go. There are a lot of things that are not under your control. Your DNA may be inside him. You don't determine some things about the baby. You can't. But there is somebody who owns the child. So your home, as it were, your home, as it were, is your home. You are not the owner. You are not 100% in charge. See, the earlier you come to terms with this, the better. And you see what? And you know, me, I like it too. Because, especially as a pastor, it delivers you from having gray hair so early in life. Because you'll be carrying the burdens that do not even belong to you in the first place. My father in the Lord, Pastor E. Adeboye, thank God for him. Took time to share with us very early in life about how to do ministry. He said many years back, when he became the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, the church you are looking today was very small in those days. The number of churches there were not up to 40 when he took over. Even our province alone is more than 100. Our province alone. So he said, They will say this problem. They will say this problem. We'll be running around. They said one day, some few months after I became General Basia, he was in front of the mirror and he saw gray hair. And mind you, he became General Basia a little over 40. He said he saw gray hair. This is death. He said they went to God and cried to God. God said to him, man, you will have gray hair now because you are carrying my own body. And my own burden is too big for you. You can't. It's me who can carry your body. You are too small to carry my body. He said, God, you put me. I put you here. So when the problem comes, why are you so worried? Why don't you just talk to me? I learned that very early. Some couple of weeks back at the province headquarters, We needed a new generator. We needed something, so we spent money. We were just buying this, buying that. And remittance was drawing close. And my pastor called me and said, "Sir, I hope we will not be in trouble this month." I said, "What happened now?" He said, "All the things we bought, the remittance was supposed to make, we're not going to have enough money." I said, "Hey, come. What did we actually spend the money for?" He began to list them, generator, this and that. I said, "Were those things very important? Or we're just being he said, "No." He said, "If not for those things we bought, the church service would not have been good." I said, "Okay." So we were wise in spending. We have not gone beyond biblical boundaries. He said, "Yes." I said, "Is it not to talk to the one who gave us the work?" I don't know about this thing. So how much, just tell me how much do we need? Let me talk to the one who gave me the work. He looked at my face like this. I said, that's how I operate. So I should not have a good sleep now. Because we want to do remittance by Monday. No, I slept well. When I woke up to pray, the prayer was not out of it was out of my responsibility as the caretaker to talk to the owner. I woke up and told him, this is the problem. We had to buy a gen. I talked to him like a kind of report. This is we had to buy a gen. If we didn't buy this, there's no way the church would have. So because of that, we are in deficit and you will need to help us out. So this is what we're expecting. Praise the Lord. You are laughing. But that's how to relate with God. It's as simple as that. That's how to relate with God. Relating with God is not just it's not shouting. As a matter of fact, the more quiet your prayer is, the more mature you are. That is the truth. It's good to discharge some adrenaline and let everybody, you know. Yeah. But I'm telling you, prayer is much more than shouting. Prayer is a journey. That's there are levels. I wish I can get to that, some of these things tomorrow. There are levels. There's a level you get to. You don't shout again. God takes you and you go on a journey. You are just talking. Sometimes you don't even know what you are saying. Are you following what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that's how to relate with God. That is what it means to be a caretaker. When there is a problem in the building, it is not the problem of the caretaker. But people don't talk to the landlord. Who did they talk to? The caretaker. So the fact that they are talking to you does not mean you are in charge. The definition is the one who is the caretaker is the one who is the middleman between the landlord and the tenants. That is where priesthood comes in. I'll be delving into priesthood tomorrow because every man, by the provision of the scripture, is a priest. The word caretaker, spiritually, caretaker, you'll not find it in the Bible, but it is called priesthood in the Bible. Who is a priest? A priest is the one who represents God before men and men before God. You know, for example, now when you look at there are three types of the clock. For example, when it is 6 a.m. when it is 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. you see the two hands of the clock. One is up and one is what? When it is 6:30, what happened? All the two hands are what? They are down. When it is 12 o'clock, all the two hands are what? So if you are a 12 o'clock person, you are not a priest. So if you are a 12 o'clock person, all your two hands are where? So you are so conscious of heaven that you are not used to ear and heart. You are not a priest. So you know, we have people like that now. To me, it's God though. They are not doing anything in the church. The police department, you know, concern them. They say, people like that. You see them on the social media. Say, me, I don't go to any church. Me, I just stay at home and serve my God. they have become so spiritual that they have become so useless here on earth. Then we have those who are 6:30. Those ones are spiritually dead. Those ones, spiritual things don't concern them. So the two hands are where? They are down. But when it is 6 a.m. or 6 p.m., there is one hand up and there's another one down. That is priesthood. Somebody who stands between heaven and the earth. So that is priesthood. Let's lay some more biblical foundations. Let's look at the book of Psalms chapter 17 verse 14. I want to lay that foundation. If that is what I'm able to do tonight, I'll be happy. Psalms 17 verse 14. It talks about who men are. who are men, except from men, which are what? Your hands, O Lord. So men are the hands of God. So when God, what are the things we use hands for? When you want to shake hand, when God wants to shake hand with other men, he uses men. When God wants to bless, he uses men. When God also wants to fight, he uses men. We are the hands of God. We are caretakers of God. We help God manage his building. And his building can be anything, not necessarily the entire heart. It could be your family. Because the first responsibility of every man is to his family. It's to his family. Praise the name of the Most High God. So, the things we are talking about this weekend borders on spiritual growth. Because in the kingdom of God, there are levels. Don't let anybody tell you that we are the same. Although by salvation, we are the same. So God does not have favorites, but God has intimates. He does. God does not love me more than him. He does not love him more than me, but he may love God more than me. So you see, you cannot say anyone who tells you, we are the same, we can pray the same way this one can pray, the one I can pray, it's not true. It's the height of self-deception. Oh God, praise the name of the Most High God. It's not true. I know what I'm talking about. Our spiritual weights are different. It depends on status. And what you can tell me is that whatever level you get to, I can get there, fine. If you can pay the same price that I will pay. I've seen men with weight. Oh God, you know, growing up in the deliverance ministry, and you pray, say, Father, fire, fire, fire on your leg, on your hand, on your this, on your that. We have men of spiritual weight. When immediately they come in, the demon runs away. Some years ago, when my father, the Lord, was teaching us about spiritual weight and encouraging us to keep climbing, he gave us an instance like that. He said it was a lecturer in the University of Lagos. So he was passing by, and then he saw some men of God. They were casting out a spirit. Get out, get out. So one of them now said, Adeboye, come around now, come and join us. He now told them, if you want me to join you, on one condition, that you allow me to pray first. This one said, no problem now, because Baba didn't have time for all those, raise your leg, move, your leg, all those things. I'm not saying that one is wrong, go. Just stay where you are for now, but keep growing. Praise the name of the Lord. So he just said, you demon, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to go. In Jesus' name. Amen. And he put on his suit and said, it's time to go. Those ones say, just like that. He said, now told them, what else do you want me to say again? The Bible says, in the name of Jesus, every issue about, you want me to be saying fire on your leg, on your, no, I don't have time for all that entertainment. So he left, and the demon left, and the man was made whole. That's weight. Pastor Kumi told us one of his testimonies like that. He said he was going for a crusade, and there was a man who was paralyzed. So they intentionally placed the man very close to where he could see Baba. So Baba was coming in. Baba sighted the man, and he said he stared on the man so fiercely that their eyes were together. All of a sudden, the man stood up and began to walk. Now you go and do it. No, go on. Thank God this is a hospital. Just walk into one ward and stare them in the face. God help you, you don't have a doctor that doesn't understand. It's weight. It's what? Spiritual weight. Because that is why I want to teach you. That is why you need to understand this. Because very soon, tomorrow, I'll be going into your authority and your powers as a priest of God, as a caretaker of God, so that when you understand it show you how you can begin to wield this authority as you climb the ladder, a time will come that you'll be able to say in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and the demons, you know, they are spirit beings, they know your weight. They know people they don't joke with. They know the seven sons of Sceva. They look at the spirit, they said, "We command you in the name of Jesus Christ that Peter preached out." The demon said, "You mention Paul, I know him." Tell your neighbor, they know you. They know you. Forget, they know you. Said, "Paul, I know." They said, "You mentioned Jesus Christ. I know. But please, may I know you?" Ah, this people didn't have. Wait. So the demon beat them up. May demons not beat us up. Amen. Because they are not supposed to beat us up. As a caretaker, no tenant is supposed to. I mean, if you know your authority, you know your weight, they can't beat you up. It's not possible. So let's look at the book of First. Let's look at the book of First John, chapter 2. I want to read from verse 12 to 14. I want us to see some levels. Then I will now try to move into the qualities of a good priest. The qualities of a good. Look at this. This is the first level. This is the first level in the kingdom. I write unto you what? They are God's children. Am I not correct? They are. But they are what? They are children. It's the first level. And that's why I said, what is their weight? Because your sins. Have you not had people who have preached don't worry, if you see all this hyper grace, they tell you that don't worry, if you commit sin, the blood of Jesus, Jesus Christ has already prayed. Have you had those teachings before? Are they wrong? I'm asking you. Did they not get it from the Bible? He said, little children, don't forget. He said, this I write to you so that you don't commit sin, but if you commit sin, you have an advocate in heaven. This is what they are saying. You are what? So that is why some of the arguments you see on social media on doctrines here and there is because people don't understand that there are levels to these things. There are some things some people will do, and God will look at them. Oh, sorry, don't worry. Because you are still a baby, you are still a child. Some years back, my father-in-law was teaching us some of these things. He said they went for a program, and the program was so powerful. Miracles happened, people were healed, the word of God came powerfully, and everybody was happy. So from the church auditorium, they were taking him to his hotel room, and everybody was just talking about how powerful the program was. Everybody was just, he said, by the time he came down from the car and the other man wanted to, you know, jam the door, the man did not know that one of his finger was still there. So the man jammed the car door on him. And you may not know how, may you not know it in Jesus' mighty name. I don't want to know it. So the pain, he said, it was groaning, excruciating pain. And He said immediately he was like, God, ah, what happened? That's a critical. He had a pain in the hand and he was asking the owner. Are you following what I'm saying now? Priesthood is as simple as itself. If it's you now, what was the first thing you do? Get injection. And there's nothing wrong. There are levels to this thing. There's nothing wrong. Oh, please. I'm in the hospital. Please. I know. There'll be doctors and surgeons around. See my hand. I raise it up. There's nothing. I'm just teaching you about. You are the one that gave me the topic. Oh, you should have asked me to come and teach on something else. So he said he talked to the landlord, the owner. He said, God said to him, "Eh, you people were in the church. I came down, do all those mighty things, and all of you were just talking about what happened. Nobody, even you at your level, didn't ever to say thank you to me." Ah, he said, when God said that, he said, "Ah, God, I've been so foolish. At my level, I should know that. I'm very sorry." He said, between the staircase and getting to his hotel room, the pain vanished. Let me give you another one. He said, while we were preparing for the Lekki 98 many years back in Lagos, he said he went to the site to inspect what was going on there. And the Hausa man who was measuring, instead of measuring, I think in centimeters or so, he was measuring in miles. He was just measuring, the better was wrong. He said, God said to him, correct him. He says, he did not collect money for his work. Is it me? When, after he has measured, then he will realize that he has made a mistake. He will come back again. So he said he didn't correct the man. So he said, after, as he was going, he waved to the man that is going. So the man, you know, stretched forth his hand. He too stretched forth his hand to shake the man. That's how the man grabbed the hand and was squeezing it. And you know when a malam squeeze your hand. He said his palm was literally on fire. Suddenly, he asked God, said, "I told you to correct him now. Say you are. But between you and me, I don't think God will handle me that way." So God said to him, "I told you, you are special to me. I won't take nonsense from you. There are weights to these things. There are levels. So somebody can come and tell you that was teaching, I had this on social media some times ago, was it sometime last year? He said it's not a sin to smoke. He said it's not a sin to drink alcohol. He said, show me in the Bible. And I laughed. It's a message for babies. At my level now, you alcohol for what? You understand what I'm saying? So if you are still drinking it, it shows that you are what? I write unto you, don't worry, your sins are forgiven you. They are forgiving you. So it begins with that. That is why at the entrance into the kingdom of God, we all enter as believers. But from there, you do what? Can we move forward a little bit? Can we move forward to verse 13 there? That's whether we can. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him. Let's move to the young man. Say, let's leave fathers for now, because we'll be going too far if we're talking of fathers. We'll be going too far. But at the level of our teaching this weekend, we are staying on. I write unto you what, young men? Because ye have done what? Ye have done what? Who overcomes? The one who fights. So children are no fighters. Their sins are forgiving them. Born young men are what? They are fighting, they are warriors. So that is why the Bible says, it said, no man worried entangles himself with what? Their fears. All those things these men will teach. You can see, God will forgive you. You can smoke. Don't worry. You can do this. It's in the Bible. They are for those who are not fighters. You can stay on that level if you want, but some of us don't want to be children. For how long will I be a Fidibotu boy? For what? For how long? He said, young man, that is why the Bible says, if you look at the book of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, you will see these two levels there. Isaiah chapter, he said, for unto us, a what? Can we put it on? We are done with this place. Can you put Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6? We are laying a foundation. So that you understand what this theme, when God gave it to our pastor, what God wants to achieve. God wants spiritual progress. God wants us to move forward. God wants our weight to increase in Him. God wants to trust us with more of the resources of the kingdom. But resources cannot be handed over to children. We need to move. That's why He's giving us men as God's caretaker, not men as God's children. He says, for unto us what? So children are born. Believers are born again. Born again is the entrance. Born again is not everything. Born again is what gives you access. But access without engagement leaves you where you are. A time comes that God expects you as men to begin to engage in the principles of the kingdom for spiritual growth. Access is not enough. Access is good. It's good. He said, for unto us a child is what? Is born. Children are born. He said, unto us what? Sons. Children are born. Sons are given. Sons are gift to their generation. That is why the Bible says, a child. So it's an heir, so long as a child, does not have anything different from a slave. So you can't commit kingdom's responsibilities to the hands of children. To those who still believe that, you can smoke, you can drink. Show me in the Bible. I've just shown you now that when you grow to a level, a man that worried does not entangle himself with the affairs of this life. And who are those that worried? Young men, not children. Say you have overcome. If you don't grow in the things of the kingdom, you won't see some of these things. You need the Spirit of God to show you. Somebody just tell you, show me where is written in the Bible that you show them this one. No man worried and gets himself entangled with the affairs of this, that he may please the one. You may say, it's not the same. Does he please the one who appointed you? Does he please the commander in chief? So, children are born, men, sons are given. They are gifts. They are loaded. They are equipped and delivered to their world as a gift. That is why in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 8, after saying this, I'll give you one more verse, and I believe we will have established the fact. Two things now. That number one, we are not the owner, we are caretakers. That is a owner somewhere. Then number two, the call this weekend is a call unto spiritual progress. God wants us to move forward from just being children to young men, to sons. God wants to commit higher responsibilities to us as men. So we have Acts chapter 1, look at what the Bible says here. You should ask questions when you see things like this. Look at who was Jesus talking to here? Who were the people he was talking to here? The what? Disciples. Because he was about to leave the world. This was after his death, his arrest, his judgment, his condemnation, his burial, his resurrection, shortly before his ascension. So the men here were the disciples he had. The 40 men that he had, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be what? Ye shall be what? That means he was promoting them. Are you following what I'm saying? He was giving them higher responsibilities now. These were what? At this time they were what? Disciples. So he was moving them from the level of a disciple to the level of a witness. What does it, you know, they were first believers. What does it take to be a believer? If you will confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, your Savior, you are what? You are a believer. You are saved. You are a believer. So to be a believer is the smallest thing to do. Is it not for if I preach to you now, you are touched? Oh, I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ? He said, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I accept him as my Lord and my Savior. At that level, you are what? You are a believer. You are saved. So you don't need any prayer, you don't need anything, you are saved there. But it doesn't end there. So it takes confession, accepting Christ to be what? A believer. But it takes more than that to be a disciple. Because not every believer is what? Is a disciple. A disciple is trained. A disciple is somebody who is a follower. A disciple is somebody who has been following the master, who has been led me at his feet. So it takes discipline to be what? A disciple. But being a disciple is not enough. You need to move from being a disciple to what? A witness. And it takes what to be a witness? Power. So you can be that is why when from today, when you are reading on the internet, people are talking, they are talking about the Bible, you begin to look at them and fish them into their cadres. Some men will talk, you know that this one is what? These are children. These are believers. Then some things he will teach, you will know that at this time now is addressing disciples. Then when he's talking, a time comes, he begins to teach some deep things, you know, he's talking to witnesses. And you can move from there. There are other levels. You can get to the level of fathers. You can get to the level of friends. A time came that Jesus told disciples, said, from today, you are no more servant. You are no more witness again. You are now my friend. It's a higher level. They started from being believers. They grew up. But a time came that I said, you are now my friends. And friends, we'll be looking at that tomorrow. You get to a level, one of the powers of a caretaker. I'm showing you tomorrow is the power of a friend. And I'll show you from the scripture how Abraham wielded that power, wielded that authority. That you can be the, as a friend of God, you can be the what they call it now. You can be the life assurance for everybody around you. You can. It's a level. It's weight. Praise the name of the Lord. So let me give you three things very quickly, and I will release you to go. It's already 6 o'clock. Just give it about 10 minutes. We'll build on this tomorrow. Let me look at, when you look at the early church, there's something about them that I don't want to miss. There's something about that early church that I don't really want to miss at all. Let's look at the book of, this should be Acts chapter 4 verse 32. Look at it. Then we'll quickly look at the
maybe three or four qualifications of a caretaker, then I'll pray for us. They will call it a day. We'll meet tomorrow by the special grace of God. Do you have it on the screen? Look at this. Look, Acts 4:32. Why? This is a major difference between the church then and the church today. They understood the teaching of tonight. They understood that they were caretakers. Look at, and the multitude of them that believe, these were believers. They were not even disciples or witness. They were still at the smallest cadre. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. And neither said any of them. How many? Not one said out of the things which he possessed was the soul. Can you see the Bible is so clear to use these two legal words there? You know, there's a difference between being in possession and being the owner. I said it before that they are legal terms. When the fact that you are in possession does not mean it belongs to you. You are in possession for a period of time. The owner can terminate the agreement and collect his property back. If you violate any of the terms of the agreement, he can terminate the offer, terminate the agreement, and collect back his property. He said, none of them. None. Somebody say none. No, not one. Huh? My God, this was an unusual church. May God take us there. They understood that they were caretakers. All of them. Every member of this church understood the agreement. They understood the terms of reference. They understood that they were placed in the garden to tend and keep it. They understood priesthood. They understood stewardship. They understood stewardship. Said none of them said that out of the things which he possessed was his own. Was his own. Now, look at the next verse. Look at what happened to that church. 33. Look at what happened. Look at the consequence of that. Look at the authority they wielded. Because they understood the owner and the caretaker relationship. And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. When you give all, you receive all. Why was the grace upon them all? Because all of them had the same mentality. So kahalaba tasia, aroma kasahadi tabala, keli moseria bada. They all had that understanding. And so, and you know, the Bible says God is a spirit. The kingdom is a kingdom that is operated by a spirit. And spirits don't deal in emotions. They deal with principles. Yes. Spirits only recognize principles. They are not emotional beings. That is why one of the things we have done against ourselves in the church is that while we are interpreting the scriptures, we use emotions. Elijah said, let fire fall down from heaven. And fire fell and consumed. And somebody said, that fire did not come from God. And what was his reason? I could listen if you give me a very good reason. Because those men were some people's husbands using emotions. They were some people's children. And I said, when angel killed Aaron, Aaron was not the father of children. Talk to me, church. Eh? When thank God that the Bible clearly wrote, nobody was around. The man just stood up and said, and he was boasting himself. What was the error of Herod? He did not understand the ownership and the possession. That's all. What was the error of Nebuchadnezzar? He did not understand ownership. He said, this Babylon that I built with my power, and the owner said, you want to take my property? Go and become animal for some 7 years. Let me tell you that I am the owner, and I have different departments. You have been the department of humans. Let me post you. Let me transfer you
to the Department of Animals for 7 years. Let's see whether your head will correct when you come back. The Bible says after 7 years, he said, and my honor returned to me, and I, Nebuchadnezzar, I lifted up my eyes to heaven. And God said, hey, you are a good boy. So all this while you are looking down. Let's do it, look up. Let's come in. Spirits don't, they don't deal in emotion. They are not, God does not, the heights of God are not physical heights. He does not have emotions. They deal in principles. That was why when Adam did all that he did, God had to correct that, because the wages of sin is death. That is the law in the spirit. God cannot overlook that. So what did he do? He brought Jesus Christ to die. That is the wisdom, because Jesus Christ had to die as a, because it was man who committed sin. That is why Jesus had to come as a man. That is why the Bible calls Jesus Christ the wisdom of God. Because man committed sin, man had to die. But there is something called the love of God and the mercy of God. Are you following what I'm saying now? The wrath of God said Adam committed sin and he must die. And the love of God on the other hand says, are you going to kill him? So we need to balance between the wrath and the love of God. That is where the wisdom of God came in, through Jesus. That is why the Bible says Christ, the wisdom and the power of God. Even Jesus Christ was not spared. That is spirit. Spirit are not emotional beings. So Jesus had to come and die. The price was paid. That's why that song, I love that song. But on that cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was at it. Whoever wrote that song, God bless him. That was a powerful song. That song could not have come from carnality. Only the Holy Ghost would have revealed that song to that person. That was how the wrath of God was, the wrath of God was satisfied. Then the love of God, then the mercy of God, all of them were all satisfied in Christ. So what am I trying to say here tonight? The call this weekend is a call to higher responsibilities. You come, go back home this weekend and make up your mind to be the priest that you are. To be the priest that you are. You make up your mind, from today, I will talk to the owner. I will relate with the owner. I will not handle my family like it all belongs to me. Everything did not end on my table. The day you realize that the buck does not end on your table, you will enjoy your relationship with God. You will enjoy your family. You will learn to give the problem to the one who owns it. Lastly, qualifications. Let me give you two or three and we leave here. There are not things you don't know, but you can begin to take them seriously from this weekend. Number one, the greatest qualification of a caretaker is intimacy with the owner. Intimacy with the owner. I've told you earlier that God does not have favorites. He only has intimates. Nobody will hand over his property to a stranger. No one does that. If you want to, you have estates that you want to give out, you don't look for a stranger. You look for trusted hands. Even when a man wants to write his will, so that when he leaves this world, he appoints a lawyer that is known to the family. A lawyer that has reputation. You don't, As a matter of fact, even your head, you don't, if you are giving, you patronize roads, I mean, even your head, you don't give it to a random person. Are you following what I'm saying now? That is why you come to reputable medical facilities like we are. You don't just go to one person that you don't even know whether he graduated from the... You don't know whether it's a quack or not. You don't know. So but sometimes we can be so careless. You don't matter that do with your head. You don't give it to a random person. You come to confirmed, recognized medical facilities like where we are today. Because you know this one, you know that whoever is here has gone through the ranks. So God does not give his estates to strangers. This is a system. Now, I'm very sure our pastor became pastor here because he has been here. Am I correct? Did you go to Lagos to go and bring somebody? No, it's not done. A lot of people have entered troubles today because they break that law. You want to get married and you go and marry a total stranger. What is wrong with you? When you break some laws, hope you are. We trust that you are lucky. That's why I'm not using the physical word lucky now. We are taking spiritual word. I don't want to use favor because if you are breaking the law, God help you. You don't break laws anyhow. Intimacy. When Jesus Christ appointed the 12, the Bible says he appointed the 12, number one, so that they might be with him. Your first calling, the first calling of priesthood is to minister unto the Lord. Your first ministry as a father in your house, as a husband to your wife, as a father to your children, and in whatever professions you find yourself, your first calling is to minister to the Lord, is to have a genuine, a strong, regular, lasting relationship with the Lord. David said, I will round up here. We'll be looking at, you can write down purity and consecration. You know that 2 Corinthians 2:17, you can put that one down, purity and consecration. You can write sacrifice. You can write love. These things are there. I can take this my introduction tomorrow before we go to the powers and the authorities of a caretaker. But the one I'm talking about today is intimacy with God that gives you a good understanding of the one you are dealing with. Listen, you can't represent God well if you don't know who he is, if you don't know how he works. I'll give you one passage of the Bible and I will round up. Let's look at the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. Look at how this doctor put it, the only medical doctor among the disciples of Christ. Look at the way he put it. He said, Luke 1. Okay, that's verse 2, Abby. He said, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were what? Eyewitnesses. From the beginning we were eyewitnesses and ministers of what? Lord. So caretakers, as it is that what he's saying there? Caretakers, eyewitnesses. I talk, you know. Now let's look. It seemed good to me also. Had what? Perfect what? Understanding of all things from the very first to now, right? You see, sir, I'm an eyewitness. I stay with him. I was with Christ. I'm an eyewitness. So because of my intimacy with him, we slept in the same room. We ate from the same table. So because of that, I have a perfect understanding of what I'm telling you. I can represent him well.
You can't represent anyone that you don't know. The Bible you have not studied and digested, you can't teach any other person. The Holy Ghost you have not stayed with cannot help you to talk to people. That's why I can come into this place and speak all the grammars. If I have not spent time with God, because you do all the grammar, everybody will talk, but lives are not touched. Yes, lives are not touched, there is no transformation. The house of God, the kingdom of God, is not a place, it's not a school. You don't come here to be taught, you come here to be transformed. Any word that does not transform is not of the kingdom. The purpose of every teaching of this kingdom is transformation. Not for education. You can get education anywhere. As a matter of fact, some of the motivational speakers are better teachers than us. By the time they begin to tell you, you have to topple the top to become the top of the topic, and they have a way of putting this word that if you are not, they tell you if you don't express your something, you become depressed, and depressed you become oppressed, and that's what they put, and everybody will be. But what happens after that? The spirit that quickens, the flesh profited nothing. It is the words that I speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life. Stay with him. One of the decisions you will make beginning this weekend is to cultivate a strong relationship, intimacy with the owner. It might not, you don't need to stay 10 hours. When people talk, tell to you, I stay in presence of God for, don't kill yourself. Start with 30 minutes every day as a man. Your family altar aside, your home now as the priest of the house. Paul said, that which I received of the Lord, that also I deliver. Before you deliver in family altar, receive first. Wake up earlier. If your family altar is 5 a.m., 5 a.m., make sure you are up 30 minutes before that time. I mean, spend some personal time with God. Then call your wife and your children and deliver to them. When you begin to spend more time with God, He begins to breathe on you. When you begin to spend more time with God, He begins to trust you with the powers of the kingdom. He begins to trust you with more of the authorities of the kingdom. And you can imagine, you can imagine, if we have men, more men of weight in Kefi, we can control the land. Yeah? But you know, there's a level you get to, the level of legislation in this priesthood. We talk about it tomorrow because it's one of the powers when we can stand here today and join our hands together and decree. It doesn't matter what everybody has planned about the governor, who becomes the governor of the state, who becomes anything, we can join our hands. Yale. Depending on our cumulative weight, whether we have enough weight to tackle what has been set in the spiritual realm. If we have the weight, we will cancel it. I'd rather by telling you, by the grace of God, I was the zonal pastor of one of our churches in Agoye many years back. I was posted to this church. It was a church in an academic environment. The state university was resident in that particular town. And wow, there was so much of courtesying, killing people, the courtesy in the school, the courtesy in the community. Because of that, they would lock the school. They would lock the school for months. 4 years academic program will turn to 6 years. You graduate from the school before you can have access to your result, maybe 2 years after that. Until I got pissed off with your situation. I said, I cannot be here and all of these things are happening, because 98% of my church members were from the school. So we had to raise a legislation. We had to legislate. We had to stand as a priest. We have to use our weight as caretakers of God. So I gathered some of the boys who we came together and we were praying from 10 p.m. to 4 or 5 a.m. every night. Not like that. I can't remember how long again.
We will pray, I mean, non-stop prayer. Legislate, it got to a time, God will tell us, God told us, the strike will be called off so date. Before you know it, the court activities, you know, became, I mean, you don't hear of it in that school again. It got to a point that there was nothing called strike again in that school. You graduate now. At the time of your convocation that year, they give you certificate. We stop some nonsense. It's way to. We can begin to ascend. You can make up your mind this weekend. I will not be a child again. I will grow. I'll be a son. I will war. Enough of this, your sins are forgiven. No, sins have been forgiven. The Bible says we should not lay again the foundation of small things. He said, let us grow.
Let's rise to our feet.
Raise your hands and worship the Master again. Yes, that is our first responsibility, to worship the one who owns the heaven and the earth. Ipala kukutohu. As worship the name of the Most High God. Worship the name of the King of Kings. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Raise your two hands to God and say, Father. Loud and say, Father. I recognize you as the owner. I recognize you as the owner. From tonight, in my home, in my life, in my business, in my career, in my profession, take your place as the owner. Oh Lord, take your place. Come on, take your place, oh God. Ele mokose eku kapo taturi paria. Eala mako sonrele bosa kipa. Come on, take your place, mighty God, in my life. Come on, take your place, Jesus, in my life. Come on, take your place,
oh Lord. Hey,
hey, hey, come
and take your place, oh Lord.
Hallelujah. In my life.
Come and take your place.
Stay there. He said, son, don't move beyond that place. Tell them to pray that I should take my place. He said, don't move beyond that place. Can we join our hands together? I wanted to give you one more, but he's asking me, son, stay there. Don't move beyond that place. Shabarakuta. Say, Father, we join our hands together. We submit to your authority. Once again, Lord, we recognize you as our owner. Please, Lord, once again, take your place in our lives, in our homes. Talk to the Almighty God. He says to stay there. He says to stay there. I should not go beyond that place tonight. Talk to the Lord. Oh, talk to the Lord. We open the door of our hearts. Come in, Father. Come asikabalaba. Ke kuku tuduruka akaba. O koko moto korika sagadabala kashata. Ekele irogodo. O momo koko mbiri sekete. Lord, take your place. Lord, take your place in our lives, in our homes, in our ministries, in our professions, in our careers, in our businesses, in the city of Kefi, in this medical facility. Almighty God, arise. You are the owner. Everybody here is caretaking for you. Lord, arise. Take your place. Take your place, Lord. Talk to him. I want to pray for you in 1 or 2 minutes. Lord, take your place. Thank you, mighty, mighty God. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. We celebrate you. Daddy, please accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Please take your place. Lord, please take your place. Please, Father, you are the owner. We are the caretaker. Nobody, we are not struggling that with you. We submit totally to you, Lord. Please take your place. As your children will be going home tonight, take your place. Lord, encounter your children. My Father, let them have an encounter that will turn their life around. The encounter, Almighty God, that will produce unusual transformation. That will move them further ahead, Almighty God, in their journey of destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I stand here by the authority of the Holy Ghost. He that is sent of God, speaketh the word of God. Anyone, Asua, Asie, Anie, Ahoa, Atitina, Eno, Noisi, Age, Ani, Amatuseria, any power, anywhere, any force, anywhere, contending for the ownership of God in your life, I command them to bow in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Bless the name of the Most High God. Celebrate him. Give him glory.